basic instructions before leaving Earth. This is Bible Radio, the internet radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, St. Paul in Minnesota. And this is Sunday Morning Live. Calvary Chapel, St. Paul is a non-denominational church dedicated to the teaching and living out of God's Word. And now, Sunday Morning Live.
We're going to do the flag ceremony, so we're going to stand up. We're going to remove any hats or caps, and we're going to put our right hand over our heart. Does anyone know the rules of the flags? Yes, don't let them touch the ground. And which flag do we say first? And why do we say the Christian flag first? To the Christian flag and to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands. One Savior crucified, risen, and coming again with life and liberty for all who believe. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, you may post the colors.
Hey, good morning. There we go. So a year ago, October, as I almost died in Africa, Lord gave me a vision of what to do. And so these are my dress blues. From the United States Marine Corps. So I needed to lose a lot of weight. But I do this because what God has shown me is to come is for this fellowship. This will be the seventh time that I'm going through the Bible with this congregation. And one of the things, or the thing that God gave me, was to prepare for war. I don't know what's going to come this next 7 years. But I've got a seven-year plan to get through the Bible. So obviously I'm taking a little bit slower. Old and New Testament. We're reading the book of Exodus on Thursdays. And so I'm also working with the far-reaching ministries out of Africa, my old Marine buddy, Wes Bentley. And so I'll show you some things about that as well. But he told me here in the vision to prepare for war. And he gave me some things. Usually I would end my emails with pray, plan, and participate. But now the Lord is showing me pray, prepare, and execute. And execute doesn't mean to kill somebody. I understand it. The word execute means to finish through completion, to complete the task, to execute. And it's not done till it's done. And so, God forbid we're still here in 7 years. We're not in heaven, but if so, then I know what I'm doing for the next 7 years. Again, taking this congregation. And so, the Holy Ghost has entrusted me with lives to press on here as a pastor, as a leader. And so I do this not for theatrics, and I do this because God just wants me in shape. I needed to lose weight because, again, for those of you who know me, I would lose weight so I can gain weight. I'm a foodie, although I love food and stuff like that. But this time I need to lose weight and to be in shape. So last year when you folks sent me to Africa, it took everything I can to be almost 280 pounds. And so I'm down to 190 now. Still got a few more to go. I barely fit in my dress blues. In fact, fitting them this morning, my granddaughter goes, and I'm buckling my pants. She goes, wow, you were that skinny once? Yes, I was. But what God has called me to do is to prepare and to prepare this congregation for whatever's We're fighters in the spirit, and I know that I am, and that's what I want to instill in others. And I have a vision that God's given me even before we moved back to Minnesota, and I see it come into fruition. I encourage you to go to our website and look at the vision and the goals and stuff. Everything, I have full disclosure there. Look at everything that's there and what we're about, and therefore it's not like you want that app on your mobile device and you click that, yes, I've read all the terms and agreements and stuff. Because I'll hold you to that. You know what you've gotten into. I hold my wife to that. She complains about me and I give her a lot. Well, you knew what you were signing up for. This is the whole thing, is that it comes down to. But here's God's word, B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before leaving earth. So if you will, turn with me to 2 Timothy, and let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. God, I thank you, Lord, that you've given me vision and drive and will to accomplish. I ask you, Lord, to be that Lord and lifted up of what's going to happen here this morning. And I just praise you and I thank you. I ask you, God, to just do that work in our lives. That we leave here today more on fire, more convicted, more committed, more submitted, more in love with you than we came here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Veterans Day is November 11th. That was started after World War I, the war to end all wars. You know how that worked out. It's called Armistice Day, or Remembrance. And the war ended, World War I ended on the 11th day of the 11th month at the 11th hour. It's tragic to find out the last person who was killed in World War I just before the armistice took an effect. And it was to end all wars, but obviously that didn't happen because sinful nature, you and I are still here. And that's what causes wars. And you read that in the book of James. But I want to encourage you something when it comes to veterans. And I just, maybe no one's going to tell you this, all right? But I'm going to tell you this. I don't know why it started. I don't know from a guilty conscience or whatever was happening. But unless you truly mean it, when you find out someone's a veteran, don't say thank you for your service. Just unless you really mean it. Unless it means something to you. It's gratuitous. We don't like it. We're embarrassed by it. I'll just say this. For those of you guys who are veterans, let me show you how veterans say thank you. If you're a veteran, please stand. That's all you got to do. And that should let you know. That's from one veteran to another. And that's what means something to us. We can see each other. We can say Semper Fi for the Marines, you know. We can do that. But don't say it unless you really mean it. And you can say thank you to a veteran. But don't say it because you feel guilty, because you didn't. Here's another thing. Do not say, I almost joined. I almost served. Try that in any other field. Try that in any other thing. Like, yeah, I almost opened a restaurant once. I almost did this, or I didn't serve, or I almost, and then just whatever you're trying to do to find it, I'm just going to tell you, because I love you, congregation, because I want when veterans come to this church that they know that they're loved and they're saved, and they can talk about it. And the other thing, the third thing is that we do need to talk, and we're not shaming anyone when veterans get together and we're sharing stories and doing these things. We're not excluding you, but there's a bond that goes on there. There's a bond, the same thing when it comes to us as Christians. There's a bond, and we're not trying to keep anybody out. But you have to understand, we do need to talk about our time in service, and we do need to talk about this stuff. And I'll let you know, all right? I've given up 2 ankles, 2 knees. I've got a 3.5-inch screw in this right shoulder. I've got a 1/2-inch screw in this left wrist. I've got a busted up back, destroyed neck. And if they would let me, I would sign up and do it all over again. So that's why when people say, well, we're praying for a healing. Is there any doubt whatsoever if God totally healed all my body, I wouldn't wreck it again? That would just be encouraging more behavior. Like, oh, great, I can do this all over again. Maybe I know what to avoid next time, but man, I'm going to wreck this body. I'll do it all over again. So again, and then the fourth thing, please, for you young ones, do not ask a veteran if they've ever killed anybody. You know, we needed to prepare for that when the Minnesota National Guard was returning from another long deployment in Iraq and Kuwait. My son served in the Minnesota National Guard. And doing those things, it's hard. It's hard defending your country and taking a life in the line of duty and doing those things. So don't ask them that. Those are the things. So again, let me give you some things. Don't say thank you to a veteran unless you really mean it and you know what you're thanking them for. You can appreciate it. Other veterans just, we know it. We need to talk to one another. Don't ask if we ever killed anybody and do those things. And you can be appreciative of those things. And I encourage you to be appreciative of those things. But it wasn't around in the 1980s and 81 when I went. This is thank you for your service and stuff. And I'll have you this. It really comes out of the backlash of the Vietnam War. I joined up just after the Vietnam War. Do you know it was 25 years after Vietnam, that Vietnam veterans, they were allowed to get personalized license plates. World War II vets, Korea, World War I, don't know if I want them driving, but it was 25 years after Vietnam that a license plate for a Vietnam veteran, by the way, he was here in Minnesota, first one. And it was only after the first Gulf War when parades were given and the Vietnam veterans who marched in the first Gulf War in the parades at OSHA. They got their parade. They got the things. Vietnam vets never did. And when I saw some hardened, battled Vietnam vets marching in that parade after the first, and they were said, hey, it was from the VFW post and the American Legion, and they said, hey, let's just form up. When they turned that corner in Oceanside, California, the place just erupted. And I've seen men just break down and cry because they finally got their homecoming. They finally were welcomed home. And so those are the things that just go on. So when you're thinking this Veterans Day, all right. The other thing here in the state of Minnesota, there really is no base. When I was stationed in California or my son-in-law stationed at the various bases there, there's support around there. But let me give you what happens here for the veterans here in Minnesota or the Army National Guard especially. There's no real respect for them here. None whatsoever. No military discounts and all those type of things. And you think, your military discounts. They're like, why not? I mean, what's 10% or whatever? Or those other things because there's no support. And the ones who take it the hardest are the spouses because then there's no support for them whatsoever. Now, with all that said, let me script the flip. All right? I'm dyslexic. All right, but you turn with me to 2 Timothy. So how about you and I as believers? You, brethren, says, you herefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the thing that you have heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit you to faithful men and what shall be to teach others also. You know, right now, at the height of World War II, one out of three people were connected directly to somebody in the military or serving in the war campaign. Do you know that number right now is 1 in 20? Statistically, 1 out of 20, you might have some direct connection. You might be many degrees separated from some of that. And you realize from the last fitness report, when it comes to here in America, I'm going to correlate the both from this world and the world that we're going to, that only 1 out of 10 young men in the United States are actually physically fit that could actually join the military service, that could actually pass the very minimum requirements to get into the military, 1 out of 10. That's a physically unfit society, and it can't be sustained. But how much more so look at the correlation. How much more so for you and I as believers? Are we diligently seeking the lost? Are we entrusting? In other words, this thing about Christianity, it's not a private matter. Are we entrusting to other men and women the very same things that are given to you and I, that we have here in God's word, to pass it on? There are no grandchildren in the kingdom of God. We are literally one generation away from extinction in Christianity. It's the passing of the baton here. And so here, as you've heard from me, I'm instilling in you. Let me give you this thing, Christian. Whatever seed is in your heart, when you're going to disciple or lead somebody else to the Lord or work with them, whatever seed is in your heart, you're going to plant that in their heart. And so the Apostle Paul has given us here. God has not created us so we could pay taxes, to go to work, give income, do those things, and to pay taxes. That's just whatever we need to do. That's our That's our avocation. Whatever we need to do to feed and clothe and shelter one another, our family, our kids, and do those things. But our vocation is servant of the Lord. And so here he says to entrust these things, to teach others also. You therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that wars entangles himself with the affairs of the life, of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. A distracted soldier is a dead soldier. A distracted soldier, just that's why before going to deployment, before you, are your bills taken care of? Are those things done, whatever? And that's a way that we're able to, again, support those who are here, military families, and we're able to do those. We're able to support those. And the same thing when it comes to missionaries. How do we support missionaries? How do we support those in the ministry? How do we take care of their families? Because it's not a high-paying endeavor. And so how do we do those things? And so again, when our Minnesota National Guard was deployed to Iraq a couple of times, and how do we support those family members that are here? When lawns need to get mowed, when dryers need to get fixed, when things need to happen, how do we support one another? How do we come alongside? And that's, and so much so for you and I as believers. That's why it's really important to be involved in a small group, in our home fellowships, that we can meet the needs of one another on that smaller unit by unit basis, instead of this whole grand thing, is that we're able to meet one another's needs and are distracted. That's oftentimes when people come and ask me for prayer for healing, I'll say, I'll pray for you. And my prayer is that you wouldn't be distracted with this, whether God would heal you or give you something else to be thinking about. I learned a trick in the Marine Corps. I can take your mind off whatever your problem is. I'll get you thinking about something else. But a distracted soldier is a dead soldier. And we're not to be distracted with the things of this world. This is not our life. America's not our life. This globe's not our life, or flat earth, whichever way you are. But this is not our home. This is not our home. And to be involved in entangled and stuff, I'm trying to make, you know, this environment nice and all, but I'm looking for the home to come. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. In other words, he's given us some examples here. He's one, he's given us of a soldier. Next, he's given us of an athlete who needs to train. And the husbandman, here's a farmer, that labors must be first partakers of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give you understanding in all things. That's what I'm asking for you today as a congregation here, that God would give you understanding, that you would see my passion, you would see my heart, that this is not a costume, it is a uniform, it is something that, again, if I can be proud in a godly sense of a way, but the one that God has just placed upon my heart. So last year in Africa, as I'm struggling with my weight, and as I'm just struggling because I know I should have been involved and I should have been in Africa a lot sooner, and I just kept getting entangled in those things. So I'm repenting of my sin. I need to be in shape because God's given me a plan. And I'm like, I'm going to die right on time. It's either going to be on life support, or if they diabetes, they take one limited time, or I wreck my life or whatever, but I'm going to die right on time. I just got to talk about quality of life. And I'm trying to be here. I'm trying to be here for my wife. I'm trying to be here for my kids and my grandkids, but I'm trying to be here for my congregation. And that's why I'm trying to get healthy and to do those things. If it was just left up to me, it was all about me. Well, for those who've been around for a lot of years, you know, up and down on the weight scale. And trust me, I was never a glutton. I knew exactly everything I was putting in and looked forward to whatever was coming into this mouth through this pie hole of mine, all right? You don't get a body like that real easy. And so there's the thing. But now it's like, hey, I've got to do this for whatever the rest of my life. If it's the next 7 years, it's the next 7 years. But God's given me a plan, and it's on our website. That's why I've been encouraging folks to go to our website. Look at the vision and goals and what we're doing. And it's easier now for you to understand where we're going because of the things. Think 35 years ago, first starting off and telling people, this is the vision. Like, we're just meeting in your living room, chick. So, but this is going to come to pass. These things are happening. And when you don't buy into the vision, when you don't buy into what's going on here, you're distracted. What are you distracted with? I am to be an example. That's my calling as a pastor, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry and to be an example. and to live my life in such a way that it gives glory to God, that it would encourage and incite others. And so here, this is what God's put in on me. And that's what, again, there in Africa, and having that time of teaching the chaplains and ministering to them and praying over them. And so here, consider what I say, and the Lord give you understanding in all things, remembering that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Wherefore I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to bonds, that the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abides faithful, he cannot deny himself. Of those things, put there in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show yourself approved to God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, let's take the opposite of that. If we're not going to study God's word, I've got lots of pithy sayings. You know, he took the time to bleed. We should take the time to read, meaning his Bible. And so here I want to study to show myself approved. I want to be in God's word, and I want God's word in me. I want, as the psalmist says in 119 verse 11, your word, O Lord, I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. And so here he tells us here to not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So in other words, you will be ashamed. You will be ashamed if you don't have that answer, that we have the answers for life and godliness right here, as he tells us. But profane and vain babblings, for they will increase to the more and more in ungodliness. And their word will eat as does a canker of a worm, such as, and he names a couple, Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overflow the faith of some. Nevertheless, so regardless of what others are saying around you, what other Christians might be doing, this thing, the resurrection's happened, or there is no rapture, or, you know, why are you so concerned about these things? Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having his seal. The Lord knows them that are his, and let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. That's what it is to be a Christian. Not talking perfection here, folks. I'm talking about forgiveness. But it is a great house. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these things, he shall be a vessel to honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared to every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, love, peace with them that call on the name out of a pure heart, to be in fellowship with one another. The Lord has not called us to be alone. The Lord has not called us to be lone rangers, that I'm unique and special just like everyone else. No, he hasn't called us to be alone. He's called us to gather together with others. That's why he writes in Hebrews in chapter 10, verse 25, to not forsake the gathering of the assembly, the saints, as some are in the habit of doing. It's one of the verses we used in our lawsuit when we sued the governor Walz and won, about him trying to close churches and doing those things. Went all the way to the Supreme Court. We fought for that. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle to all men, apt to teach and patient. In meekness, in instructing those that oppose themselves, if God perhaps will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. and they that recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. We'll get into chapter 3 here in 2 Timothy, but do you understand that last verse? Christians. He's not talking about the unbelievers. I'm not talking to people outside the body of Christ. You know, you didn't come to church. You and I are the church. We came to fellowship. You and I are the church. And he's talking to Christians there. He's talking to Timothy, his son in the faith, and he's talking to Christians there that there are times when Christians can be taken captive to do the devil's will. And he says, we need to be meek. We need to bear up with the failings of the weak. We need to be able to instruct them. But when you cannot tolerate, when you don't want to hear the truth, there's no changing your mind here. And sometimes there are Christians who've been taken captive to do the devil's will. And they're doing all this ungodliness, and they think they're doing a service for God, but it does not match up with the Bible. Now, I'm giving you a conviction that I have. This is what the Lord's showing me last October in Africa and working on these things and working on my life. And it says, Chick, how are you gonna be able to share this with others? How are you gonna tell them to prepare for battle and to prepare for war and to prepare for this spiritual and for this life to come and to teach them God's word if you're not gonna be? Now listen, I was disciplined. Don't ever think that I was ever a glutton. There's people here, your metabolism, you out-eat me, you know, 7 days a week and twice on Sunday. I just was, you know, purposeful what I was eating there that gained weight and go on. And so I was disciplined when it came to that because I could gain weight and I can lose weight. You can go back and look online and look at the whole weight gain. But what did I do this time? I would have fattest, fatter, and fat wardrobe. All my fattest and fatter are gone now. I'm just working. I'm giving away all the clothes. My wife would say, why are you keeping those clothes? That's a good shirt. I'll be in that soon enough in a few years. And I would work my way up. I believe in style. If you keep your clothes long enough, they come back in style. All right, so there you go. Except disco, that never should return. But listen, so God's showing me this. So I'm just giving you, maybe this is just for me today. But we need to be. When I look at 1 out of 10 young men between the ages of 18 and 26 cannot meet a physical requirement, man, that's just kind of my example of being a foodie could hurt people. My example, but I want to spiritually live my life in such a way that I'm leaving iniquity, so much so that I have no plan to gain the weight back anymore. And just as I continue to study and discipline my body, which is keeping me healthy and keeping me flexible and keeping me to do those things, even though I am busted up, I am a wreck, I'm still going to ride my skateboard. I'm still going to fall off, but I'm going to do it with style. All right, I'll be able to roll a little bit better now, and I'm working on doing those things. How much more spiritually? Let's look at chapter 3 of 2 Timothy. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Now, if this was 2,000 years ago, what do you think it's like today? And I can look just as in the state of Minnesota. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy. It's the way that I look at, I want to look at sin the way God looks at sin. All sin is sin in God's eyes. But if I was putting a list together, wouldn't you start off with, you know, disrespectful to parents? Wouldn't that be like a lower and work your way up to murder? The Holy Spirit put this together, and all sin is sin in God's eyes. There's no one sin greater than another sin. That's what keeps me humble. That's what keeps me from being angry at somebody else because I can look at my own sin and what God has forgiven me. Without natural affections, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Doesn't that seem like our current administration here in the state of Minnesota? Doesn't it seem that they're just willingly coming after the believers? Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Turn away. That whether it be those who protest or profess that they are believers, but yet they're living their lives in such a way. not to shun them, not to, but turn away from, not to join in with them. But again, he's going to tell us what we need to do. For all such are they that which creep into houses, laden captive, silly women, laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. How can you study God's word and not come to the truth? How can you not just, again, just read the Bible and just accept it and believe what it is, but then you got to think, well, and now what happens is if you come away with some interpretation that's totally out of context of this, then you're making yourself an authority above God's word. And there are some Christians who have been taken captive to do the devil's will and to do just that. Ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, this is really the only names that were given. We're going through Exodus right now, and these are a couple of the magicians that were opposing Moses, and we have tradition here what their names were. It's not given to us in the book of Exodus. But it's here, as they withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Reprobate, kids, reprobate means lacking all sound judgment. Lacking all sound judgment. You're not having that wisdom there. But they shall proceed to further their own folly. They shall be manifest to all men as to their... as to also that there was. But you have fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, and suffering, peace, charity, and patience. That is what God placed upon me, especially these two chapters, this last October. It needs to be evident to you. Do you see my patience, my love, my charity, my integrity for the word of God, for doing those things? If not, then I have no idea why you're still here. But I would assume that you're here, that that's what God has called me to do. I have friends, sad to say, who are leaving the ministry. One's actually resigning today at a fellowship. And I asked him, I said, are you going to stay in the town? And it was a telltale sign for me why possibly this was already doomed. He says, well, the only reason I came here was to pastor this church. And since I'm not going to be pastoring the church anymore, I'm going to get out of there. Man, I'm not that way, folks. I know what God has called me to do, and I've shared this with you. I love St. Paul. I hate the property taxes. I know the mayor I didn't particularly care for because I've known him personally, but he's no longer mayor. He got voted out, but someone just as worse or worser could be there. I know the city or the state of St. Paul voted in for us to have more taxes, and they turned over decision-making to 7 council members on fining, you know, citizens and stuff. It's just bad referendum. So we'll see what happens with this new mayor. I don't like the certain administration, but I pray for our mayor, and I'm praying for the new one. I'm praying for the city council like that. But it's not just St. Paul. They're going to bury my bones here. I didn't come back to Minnesota, and I didn't come back specifically to St. Paul to see what will happen. And listen, one of the reasons why I'm not, this is a enlisted rank, one of the reasons why I'm a terminal E3, I never made it to E4 at a corporal, because I had some bad time. I didn't get busted a rank. I was trying to pick up E4 at a corporal. It's a, like my son-in-law, you can see his stripe down his pants, a blood stripe, they would call it. But in the few months that I backslid and I turned away from the Lord, it damaged my future in the Corps. I was going to stay in. I was saving my reenlistment, and I avoided the career jammer, career planner, career jammer. And I was waiting until my last month. I had 30 days, and then I was going to try to get some bonus money. But I had every intention of staying in the Marine Corps. I was just going to be a lifer. I was just going to go in. I was going to be a government-paid missionary. I gave my life back to the Lord. But that 3 months, 3 to 4 months that I turned away from the Lord gave me a page 11 entry in my service record book that damaged future promotions for quite some time. But I was going to stick it out. I was going to stick it out. I had every intention. I said, I'm going to make good on this, and I'm going to regain that which is lost. But But at church, God spoke to me and said, it's time for you to get out. And I fought it. I mean, I miss it. I don't regret my decision to get out. But it kind of dumbfounded everybody. And the units that I was in, and I thought you were going, and I was saving my reenlistment, and I processed out within 30 days. Normally, 6 months before your reenlistment, they try to get you all signed up for your next gig. And I was waiting it out. And so here, that damaged me. And so for someone to say, well, because I'm not passionate here, so I'm one of those to stick it out. I'm not telling you I'm going to backslide. But I know the gifts and callings of God of Romans 11:29. God has called me to St. Paul, to start Calvary Chapel St. Paul, and a few other Calvary Chapels and throughout the cities. We still have 10 more churches we need to plant. But we planted other churches through the state of Minnesota and third world country up in the UP with my grafted in son. And there's still some things to do. But regardless if I'm the pastor of Calvary Chapel St. Paul or not, I'm in St. Paul. And not only that, but once again, as I've shared with everybody, once our 17th home fellowship and our 17th neighborhood is planted in the city of St. Paul, we start going to the cities that surround St. Paul. Then we start going after the counties and putting home fellowships there. I've got a whole vision and a plan for that God showed me back in 1990 and 1991. In fact, it's written on the website for you to see, and that's why there's a date on it. And that's why it's easier for those of you who are here right now to say, well, all these things we're doing, because this is all you know what we're doing. But it started with some teenagers in my living room leading to the Lord and then leading their parents to the Lord and starting from there. My goal is not to stay in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. I'm thankful for this building and what we're doing here. But I still got vision for 4 more coffee houses and a couple other Calvary chapels, let alone in St. Paul alone and all the other home fellowships and doing these things. And that small unit mentality there of meeting one another's needs, because that's the body of Christ. You can come and call this church and you can have a soul cleansing time. But why lose all this weight? Why get in shape? Why spend all this time in to do these things? Because people's lives depend upon it. I want to earn the right to be able to share the gospel with others. That's why I squeeze into this uniform. And hopefully in a few months to come, this will be loose on me. I can barely breathe right now. He says, I want you to consider these things, that you come to understanding there. For me, this uniform and being able to squeeze in it lets me know where I am physically in those things and what I want to do. And I want to be healthy, and I want to be around, and I want to do that for you, for my wife, for my children, for my grandchildren, for my flock. I want to be mobile, agile. I want to, as the trials come, I want to say, thank you, Jesus. May I have another. Every time the world just slaps you and just does those things to embolden here. He tells us here, these things that you've seen me, it's going to get worse. Persecutions and afflictions, verse 11, which come to me, as he says in Antioch and in Iconium and in Lystra. He was stoned to death. If you went back to Acts, he was stoned to death. And they drug him outside the city. This is why I love the Apostle Paul. And he comes back to life. And he says, let's go back in there. Paul, they just stoned you. I know, won't that freak him out? Now, again, that's a paraphrase, right? That's not what he said, but that's exactly what I'm thinking. They tried to kill me. Let's see if it can happen again. Let's do it. Let's go back in there. It freaked everybody out. It sure did unless you're there. You and all that who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Put that one as a precious promise on your refrigerator. We had a shirt. We should start making it again. Maybe I'll give the idea to one of our shirt makers there. It's just a big bullseye. I kind of think of like Far Side with the deer with the bullseye on him, and the one deer looks at the other one, says, bummer of a birthmark, Hal. But I like to just have a shirt right there with a bullseye in the front and bullseye in the back, and it says, those who seek to live a godly life shall be persecuted. But not many people have that tattooed on them. Not many of those people have that precious promise, but that's the promise. And he's telling us here that these are going to come. And if they aren't coming, and they're not happening in your life, then what's the antithesis of it? What's the opposite of it? Then you must not, and I'm under the same conviction, then you must not be living a godly life. As I shared last Thursday, as I, just a young man in the Lord, have come back to faith and I'm sharing in a Bible study, and some older Christian, 1.2 million years, was patting me on the head because that's nice, and said it in front of everybody. Listen, I've been a Christian all these years and I've never been persecuted. People respect me. People love me. I have that at work. And I'm like, you must. And I said, oh, don't front me in front of other people. If you talk to me in private, we kept it private. But he was doing this in front of all the crowd and everybody there. Then I said, then you must not be living a godly life. You're a friend of the world. I challenge you. He came back 6 months later, a broken man, changed forever, because he realized he wasn't. Because he tried to put on a Christian t-shirt and wear it to work, and everyone laughed him to scorn. They thought he was mocking the other Christians at work. And he couldn't even convince those that he was in the same union with for over 25 years that he was a believer. He goes, but I go to church. He goes, we all go to church. We all go to church here. That's the whole thing here, the mentality, right, in the Midwest. Sow your wild oats all week long. And then show up on Sunday and pray for crop failure. So it could be a soul cleansing time. We don't go to church. We are the church. The people aren't here for the church. You and I are the church. The church is here for the people. And so he says here, those who seek to live a godly life shall be persecuted. But evil men... evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived, but continue. It doesn't matter what we hear about the great fraud and that's happening and the billions of dollars that have been stolen just over the scamdemic and everything that's happened over the last years, and it's all coming to light now. It says here, but you, verse 14, continue. You can get angry, you can get upset, you can rage at the world, you can scream at the wind. But he tells us here, but continue you in the things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing whom you have learned them from. Listen, Christian, whatever seed is in your heart, you're going to plant that in others. And from childhood, hey, listen, young ones here today, and from the childhood, he's talking to Timothy, Apostle Paul's son in the faith. He saw Timothy as a young kid, but he was able to use him later in ministry and to bring him up. So he's talking to Timothy. So I'm talking to you right now. And from a child, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise to salvation, though through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. You young ones, you need to learn this from your parents and hopefully your parents. If your parents don't want to teach you, come sit in my class. Go to class. That's why we endeavor with our children's ministry, to make sure that they go through the entire Word of God and they know exactly what's going on in their lives, and they can do that. That's why these young ones up here can present the flag. They know what the flags are all about and what they're doing here. It's just not rote memorization here that you've known as a child. Here's the thing. Keep eating, you're going to grow. You're going to grow up, but how well are you going to keep eating spiritually, and you'll be that unto salvation, and you'll have that wisdom. For he tells us here in verse 16, all, what does all mean? This is why we have the actual eternal words of life, and that's why I don't make myself an authority above God's word. It says here, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and profitable for doctrine, that means teaching, by the way. For reproof, sometimes you need to be reproofed. And I've been reproofed by the word of God, as I'm sharing with you today. Being reproofed. For correction, which I was corrected, and instruction in righteousness. I could have disobeyed the Lord last year in October as he's showing these things to me. I could have disobeyed. I didn't have to tell anyone. Oh, my wife would have known. She would have called me out. We know within seconds of each other's lives. And I could have just waved off the Holy Spirit, which I've done before. And I could grieve the Holy Spirit. And I can quench the Holy Spirit. But me, because I'm open, honest, and transparent, what did I start doing? For those of you around, I was like, this is what God's called me to do. And not just lose the weight this time so I can gain the weight, but I'm not going to put it back on. Holding myself. And so what have I been doing? I've been learning recipes. I've been learning new ways to eat. I've been learning all kinds of stuff because this is my life from now on. And this is how I'm going to live. I need to live this way. I've already gone to McDonald's all the times. I'm going to meet some godly saint 105 years old in heaven. And we're gonna match up all the times we went to McDonald's and ate Big Macs. And we're going to have the exact same amount of time. I just front-loaded the first 62 years of my life. But we're going to have the same amount of Big Macs that he spread out over 105 years or whatever. There's only one White Castle's demonic burger in me, so I can tell you that. Well, no, I've got a few there. But this has all the answers. So I tell you young ones, this has all the answers. Find the answers. They're right here for reproof, for correction. I could have waved out the Holy Spirit. I didn't have to tell anybody. I don't have to give away my fattest wardrobe and my fat wardrobe and work it all the way down and inspire and encourage others to do those things because I want to be healthy. I want to be around and I want to be able to preach the word of God. I do not want to be a burden to my flock. I don't want to be impaired. But as a friend who's resigning today said, well, I'm not going to stay in this town. I'm staying. I have no plans of backsliding. But trust me, I already have that 43 years ago of turning away from the Lord. I don't do things in a small manner. If I turn away from God, it'll be huge. But it's not going to be huge because I want to succeed in the Lord now more so than ever before. And that's my prayer. As I'm sweating it out and bleeding it out in Africa with these men who are on the front lines and are giving of their lives and doing these things, God says, well, what does it cost you? What are you doing? And if you really want this, this is the Holy Spirit, if you really want this, you're going to have to get healthy. You're going to have to live your life in such a way that there won't be dishonor when it comes to this, when it comes to, you know, God's word. For me, this is what it all comes to, verses 16 and 17. The man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished to all good works. He tells us, you know, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, you might want to underline that one. He says, Demas has departed from me. If you read in Thessalonians, you read in a couple of other of the New Testament letters of the Apostle Paul, he mentions Demas is with him. In one letter, he mentions, hey, Demas is right there. Another letter, oh yeah, Demas is here with me. He's here. And the second Timothy says, Demas has departed me, for he loved this world more. And so he departed. That's what will happen. If you love this world more, you will depart. And I did that 43 and a half years ago. And it ruined a career as far as promotion when it came to it. And I don't want to ruin any more promotions. That's what God brings me back to last October. Of just, you have an opportunity. Here's your vision. Do you want to see these things happen? Do you want to be around to see it? Don't get me wrong, I'm ready to be with Jesus at any moment. Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. I'm all about the dying and going to be with Jesus. But the Holy Spirit shows me, are you willing to live for Christ? Dying's easy. Dying's easy. I can be martyred, I can be that, not a problem. To live is Christ. Man, that's the tough one. And so he gives me 2 Timothy chapters 2 and 3 and warns me not to be a Demas again and to do those things and to stand before you and to be accountable and say, yeah, I'm going to squeeze myself into this. But that's what God showed me. And so I want to prepare Calvary Chapel St. Paul for the course. Got it all lined up. By the middle of 2032, God forbid we're still here. We'll get through the entire Bible again. I don't know if it's my last time through it, but I know I've got a plan until I'm 70. But I need to be around and I need to be healthy and stuff. I need to plan and prepare. I need to pray, prepare, and execute. God gave that to me and Kimberly as we were at the Deep South Pastors Conference in September. I said, what is it? Usually it's pray, plan, and participate, because I want you to participate in this. But for the next 7 years, it's pray, prepare, because the world's going to get worse. I don't know if you've watched the news lately. And God forbid Governor Walz wins another election, or someone even worse gets in. Verse 14 of chapter 2, we need to continue in that which we have learned. And who you learned it from? And is anyone learning it from you? That's what we need to prepare our lives for. Our sin is never private. Our sin is not only alone. If we sin and we grieve the Holy Spirit, it wrecks the lives around us. So it does matter. There's nothing private with any one of us. I would encourage you, especially young ones, do you know the scriptures? I know in our children's ministry we do. Parents, are you admonishing and are you bringing up? Are you training and correcting in righteousness your children? For those of you who are part of the flock, that's what I want to give to you. Are you growing in righteousness? It's not about our lives. Invest the lives into others. Listen, if it's just about me, I wouldn't be wearing this and I wouldn't be doing this. And so I would ask you to follow and do the same. What are some life changes and things that you can make? I don't know if it's physical or whatever, but I'm talking spiritually. What things can you do to further the gospel? And I would ask for those of you who make Calvary Chapel St. Paul your home, just don't click and say, I accept the terms and agreement. It's all voluntary here. Do you want to be a part of this? Don't mistake my passion. God's called me here. I'm not a hireling. I'm not running away. I'm here till I see this all come to fruition. And as soon as the last thing's done, I get to go home. So you're holding me up. I just want to let you know that. I want to see it get done. So Lord Jesus, may we leave here today more on fire, more convicted, more committed, more submitted, more in love with you than we came here this morning. Hey, Jim, can you show far-reaching ministries? This is what I want to show you, God put on my heart last October. This is far-reaching ministries. And they started with a vision and the same thing. I remember my friend, an old Marine, Wes, starting off and just working with military in the South Sudan. He worked with another mission organization. Then he led some military people to the Lord, a general and others. And now they're active in 30 countries, 5 active war zones, 9 of the most 10 of the deadliest right there nations. Keep going, Jim. And this is the chaplaincy. So this is what I'm a part of, the deployment. So you keep looking. There's other things that you can be involved in. But this next class, which I'll be involved with, and Pastor Seth Wetter of Fargo, we're going to be involved with the chaplains in the South Sudan. And this next class of 12, they're replacing 75 chaplains who've died in the line of duty. They've died in the line. They're in the South Sudan. Keep going, Jim. They've died, and so this next class is to replace those 75. They're not going to send them to 75 new units. And I would ask you to look at this Knight's Code, because this is what he's put into all the chaplains there, to never turn back from the foe, to protect women, to honor women, to protect children, to, again, to do these things. And that's who I'm involved with. And so I would like to see 75 chaplains supported before the academy starts in April. That's about $100 a month. Also, you can do in such a way that you can give through our Roundup app for Give for Missions. I don't know if you've ever been in the store. Hey, do you want a Roundup for whatever their thing there with your credit? You could register a credit card with them. And so whatever we as a church, Kimberly and I have been praying, we're trying to redo our finances because we've already been supporting a chaplain right now for 20 years in the South Sudan. We're trying to support another one, but it means more sacrifice. It means more things. We've got to work some things around, and it's my desire. And so we're doing those things. But I'd like to see 75 between our fellowships and the other churches that we've planted. It's never been done before. Usually whoever graduates the academy, they get 600 applications. They can only take 75 to maybe 100, and only about 75 will maybe make it through. And they want to go back to the front lines. These guys are going to be replacing those. So they know they're going to very dangerous units, and they want to replace them. And that's what I want to be a part of, and that's what I want Calvary Chapel St. Paul to be a part of. And so I pray that you would pray as a family, what can you do to say maybe give and start supporting. You can start supporting the chaplain now. They're all set up for it. You can pay chaplain to be determined later, but you can get start supporting now. And then whoever graduates, you might be able to pick them. They'll send a picture out, or and you're just you can start praying for them. Why? Because I didn't know. I didn't know that my wife, whose testimony of just anger and rage and uncontrolled just violence, and then when she was 9, she gave up her reckless life of milk and cookies and swing sets. And she began praying for her husband. I'm 5 years older than her. I thought I never got prayed through anything. I may have had some people praying, but ever since the age of 9. So I know that you can start praying for whoever God is going to use you and your family as a chaplain. Or maybe a couple of your families, or maybe the home fellowships takes on a chaplain, or whatever it is. But I would like to see 75 chaplains to be supported and to go back. And that's my prayer, that we would do that. So if you'd stand with me. May God richly bless you as you go out into the greatest mission field ever through those doors. And you know what today is? This starts the Secret Sis program. Kimberly's got your letters back there, sisters. But you know what that means for us brothers? It's the obvious brother program. So we'll go from there. God bless you. Have a great day.